Blog Talk Radio.
Like to request our flight attendants be seated at this time. We're landing in about 1 minute. Thank you.
It's the CJ Sweat Show presented to you tonight on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank Wilkinson Weekly and Guest Reports for everything they have done to support us, and we'll throw it back at them as well. Go visit both of those sites today. Again, Wilkinson Weekly will be developing into Wilkinson Central soon. We're going to make all of that look like ESPN as much as we can anyways. So do keep an eye out for that. That's coming. I hope we can have it up and running before the start of next season. It's definitely going to take some time. We're still trying to work out the kinks on it, still trying to finish up this website. But listen, if this thing works, I think it will change your experience and the whole media experience that we've developed in this world. Again, I want to thank all of you guys for joining us today. Congratulations to both Florida and Jacksonville State on their respective national champions today. Coach James proved me wrong all season long, with the exception of maybe that Tennessee Tech game, but he came in and just blew away the competition in playoffs. I mean, he looked great. Now, Eastern Kentucky gave him a run for his money, but that team looked absolutely incredible. And then today's second half against Coastal Carolina was just flat out amazing. So he gets the 1AA championship, renewing it again for Jacksonville State. And then congratulations to Florida and Coach Potter, who will be joining us on the show later on in just a little bit. Told him he could call in anytime between 5:30 and 6:30, so I don't really have an exact time for him. I would have posted something in the forums, but we just agreed to it. I had sent him a message this afternoon, and it was short notice, and then he just, I mean, literally 3 minutes before the show started, sent me a site mail saying he was in on it. So we're going to have him joining us in just a little bit to discuss his championship run and what he has done at Florida. I'm excited to bring him on. I think he's an absolute incredible coach. But congrats to both of them. And then also these BCS games. We had some really exciting games. USC comes from behind to beat Navy 30-26 in the Fiesta Bowl. Notre Dame gets on top of Boston College late and wins 35-23. Now, Penn State controlled this game with Connecticut the entire first half. Connecticut made it a little interesting in the second half. Let's see, at one point, this game was 51-30, which I know is a three-possession game, but Connecticut was driving again and getting ready to score. They just didn't have enough left at the end of the game. So it was a very good second half as they both scored 24 points. But that first half, just Penn State completely blew them out. And I predicted Penn State would win that game 42-20. They end up winning 51-30. So that margin was off by about 1 point. I hit that game right on the head. Minnesota beating Alabama 43-21. Now, that game was 21-0. I watched the second half anticipating that Alabama could make a comeback, and they certainly tried. They had that game, a 13-point game, and I think they had the ball at one point too. So, I mean, they were definitely trying to scare Minnesota, but just Minnesota's offense, it was just so explosive that entire game. And easy 37 is just pieced together one of the most talented offenses that I've seen in quite a long time. I thought that was a team that could play for the national championship that lost to Penn State, limited them a bit, but nevertheless, good win for them in the Sugar Bowl. And then today, Florida holding off Texas in the last few minutes of that game to go on and win 37-31. Really good games today. And that Coastal Carolina-Jacksonville State game, Coastal Carolina had them down in the first half 34-21, and I thought this was going to be Coastal Carolina's season. I thought Robbie P was going to get that championship, and they just fell short. But he has pieced together another very good team. I think that team is built for the future. I really do. I think next 3 to 4 seasons, we are really going to be talking a lot more about Coastal Carolina. I think the more he gets his roster in there, the better. Because, I mean, he is such a good coach, and that seems to be a much better, fit for him than Holy Cross was, and he was very good at Holy Cross. So I think he's kind of learning the ropes there at Coastal Carolina. He's done very good piecing that team together, and they really do look set for these next few seasons. So I'm very impressed there. Now, as far as Jacksonville State's concerned, I was down on them the whole season. Relatively speaking, I was down on them. I still had them ranked first to start off the season. I just didn't think they were going to get through playoffs and make it all the way to the championship game. I thought we would see something like Holy Cross and Texas Southern. Holy Cross ended up being a big disappointment. Texas Southern was pretty good throughout the season. They did end up into the Final Four, and then they lost to Coastal Carolina 37-30. And like just the last minute of that game, Coastal Carolina came through and beat them. So Texas Southern definitely lived up to the hype. They just didn't make it. Jacksonville State just proved to be the better team all season. And I mean, Coach James, I'm not a big fan of what he is building roster-wise over the next few seasons. I'll still maintain that. I think he's got his work cut out for him. However, he's one of the best game planners in the game, and I think he's continually proving that. And, I mean, go look at the first half of that game, look at the second half adjustments he made, especially if you're a 1AA coach that may play him in the next couple of seasons, because he absolutely annihilated Coastal Carolina with those adjustments. I mean, that was a determining factor. You can talk game plan, you can talk roster all you want, but when you've got a coach that can make adjustments like that, they become incredibly difficult to beat. I did think they were going to get knocked out early on, and I thought Eastern Kentucky was going to give them a really close game, and they did, by the way. Eastern Kentucky took them right down to the wire. I thought if Tennessee Tech was going to match up with them, Tennessee Tech would beat them again. But Jacksonville State proved otherwise, ended up winning that game in the Final Four. Final score was 45-20. So, I mean, when this thing counted, they did have the close game with Eastern Kentucky, but every other game they just blew teams out. And, I mean, they crushed good teams. Like San Diego, I know they're an 8 seed, but that's a difficult 8 seed to get past. 51-10, Jacksonville State wins. UMass, another very good team that found their way into the quarterfinals, had a lot of talent on that program. A very good coach in Buck, and Jacksonville State wins 45-13. And then again, the Final Four in the championship game. So, I mean, Coach James, he pieced together such a great season again. And here we are with Jacksonville State atop the leaderboard. Now, I do think over the next 3 to 4 seasons, this thing is going to get even more even than it's been. I think we're getting a lot more parity in 1AA than what we've had. And I think a lot of teams are starting to play catch up. And you can see it in recruiting. You can see where these teams are getting better and better and better. And again, I think next season, I'll maintain when I said this season that I think somebody other than Jacksonville State will win the championship. I do think the A-10 is getting better. I think the Gateway is continually getting better. The Big Sky to me is the conference that's been making some huge improvements over the past couple of seasons. And I think that's going from being, I mean, listen, guys, 10 seasons ago, that conference was just one good coach, Sean Murphy, and nobody else was in there. And then he left and the conference just kind of started dying down as a whole. Now you've got 3, potentially 4 really big players over the next several seasons that I think are going to continually make strides. And I've said several times, I think the Big Sky, you've got 6 programs in recruiting hotbeds. So I think that conference in the next few seasons will continue to get better. And I think the more that conference gets better, the more the Gateway improves, the more the SWAC improves, we're going to see a lot more parity develop. The next conference that I really hope starts getting coaches is the Southern Conference. If you can get a few coaches in there, then the parity across 1AA is really going to spread out. Now, a lot of people are afraid to take those jobs because of the recruiting distribution. But the thing is, even though, you know, like you take Appalachian State, you're going to be in the heart of some difficult recruiting, sure. But if you take one of those jobs, you could seriously contend to win that conference season in and season out almost immediately. And when you start stacking up conference championships like that, your vision instantly improves. So a lot of people are looking at the Southern Conference, avoiding it like the plague because of where the teams are located and where other teams are already have human coaches. But I would tell you right now, if you're looking to kind of develop a conference the way that the Ohio Valley has developed over the past few seasons, the way the PFL has developed, and the way the Gateway has developed, and if you want to get a conference to that level, the Southern Conference has a lot of potential. It really does. Now, the Northeast Conference has a lot of potential if you can sustain a few rough seasons and be willing to get beat up by Georgetown every couple of seasons. But if you can sustain that, the Northeast Conference is a viable option too. I just think the Southern Conference, if I was going to take a team today, I think there are a lot of options in the Southern Conference to where a coach could go and start winning immediately. I really, really do. And I do think the Atlantic 10 is on its way up. I think the Atlantic 10 is. I think the MEAC, I don't think will ever get deep. But if you look at the history of our world, the MEAC has always had at least two legitimate contenders. And I've talked to other coaches about this. And if you talk to EZ at Minnesota, he swears by Florida A&M. And if you go and look at the rest of the world across the game, Florida A&M is consistently one of the best teams in the game. It really is. So, listen, if you're looking for a new program to move to, if you're Division II coach looking to move up, I would look at the MEAC, where I could maybe go and compete for the West Division pretty soon, or I'd go and look at the Southern Conference, where I could compete to win the conference next season. I think there are some great options there. So I think there's a lot of good options. As far as the job change up in 1A, the big talk obviously is surrounding the Michigan job. And we'll get to the A-10 and Ivy in just a minute and what I hope happens over the next couple of seasons. But the Michigan job is open as Mr. Fortune was fired. I think we all saw that coming. It is open. My prediction – me a second here. My prediction is that Douglas Lee or Doze One will get the job. To me, if you look at Doze One, he has kind of stayed in that area of the country, took over Bowling Green a while back, made them very competitive. He's out in Memphis and has made them very competitive. I think if he's looking to move up, he could take the Michigan job. The other coach I would think is interested, actually, I know he's got at least some interest in it, is Douglas Lee. Now, what I don't know, and this is going to be the big concern over the Michigan job and who takes it, is which coach is going to hold up for Tennessee. And what I know about UConn is this season they were very competitive. Two seasons ago they were very competitive. And next season they're going to have their best season in a really, really long time. That is a team that I think could seriously contend for the national championship next season. The only reason I didn't think they could compete with Penn State was because, A, they hadn't really played anybody difficult yet, and B, I just thought that he was incredibly young. But next season, the youth goes away. It will be an experienced team, and they could go and compete right away. So if Douglas Lee doesn't go after the job, it's because, A, he could have a national championship potential next season with UConn, and then take the job at Tennessee. And if we're debating which elite is better, Tennessee is by far the premier elite job. By far. Tennessee, I would put up there along with Texas, Florida, Penn State, and USC. I think it's right up there with those programs. I think it's one of the best elite jobs you could possibly have. In Michigan, let's face it, Michigan's one of the worst elite jobs you could have. Now, it is an elite, so I mean, understand what we're dealing with. It is an elite program, so it's not like it's this rinky-dink program. No, it's still an elite program, and they do have national championships on there. But the last time the team won a championship, we were still in version one, I believe, in the Wilkinson world, at least. We're still in version one, and I mean, Mr. Fortune, say what you will about the past couple of seasons in recruiting, but he's a really good coach. I mean, I expect him to land somewhere over the next 48 hours. And wherever he lands, I think he's going to build, I think he will build a very good team. And I think he will return someday to that national prominence of being in elite games or being in level four and level five bowls constantly. He's a very good coach, and he got fired by Michigan. He couldn't handle it. The reason is because you've got Michigan State, you've got Notre Dame, you've got Ohio State, you've got Minnesota that are all within your recruiting proximity, and that makes it incredibly difficult to recruit there. But listen, I just think these coaches that you would generally see going after that elite Michigan job are going to hold off for a season. But we'll see what happens. Now, in my experience with Doug, because I've coached with him in the same conference, if he feels like he's got a chance to move up, he just takes it. I feel 60-40 on this, that he's going to apply for the job. And I think if he applies for the job, it's his for the taking. Doze One has a great chance to get it as well. And I think he's a legitimate contender for this job if he wants it too. But I do think Douglas Lee would be the favored coach to get it. As far as whether or not I'm going it, because I did have somebody ask me that, I don't tend to get into those details, regardless of the fact that I started the coaching rumors page. It's not really my thing, unless I know I'm going somewhere. But I am undecided on it. And the hint I will give you is that Missouri is going to have an excellent roster next season, and we'll have an excellent season. That's my hint. listen, I've been building that team for a while. I love what's happened there. So I don't know that I'm ready to leave it yet, but I'll keep my options open. Listen, I'm not getting into me, but if you want to talk the Michigan job, we talk contenders for it. That's where I'm at. And Missouri could, if I apply, which I don't know that I will, Missouri could open up. Okay, now A10 Ivy. There is something that I wanted to get to. Yes, Mac, that is a no, wink, wink. Whatever you want that to be, that's what it is. what I want to get to is something that I hope happens across our world over the next couple of seasons, because we've done this before a long time ago. People that don't know this, by the way, SJU Rat and myself actually go back pretty far to when I was at Villanova in the A-10. I was only there for a couple of seasons. Coach James says he's going to Michigan. Sure, go ahead. Honestly, if you're a 1AA coach looking to just move straight to an elite program, this, I think, would be the season to do it, because everybody's going to go for that Tennessee job next season. I mean, to me, that looks to be like the best program that's going to be available in the next 5 to 8 seasons. And Penn State's going to become available. TKE Chubb has already said he's not going to renew, but he still has like 11 seasons left on his account, and who knows what he does with any reward points that he acquires. So theoretically, he could honestly be there about 14 to 15 more seasons. So this Tennessee job, it becoming available, that's a big deal. A-10 versus Ivy Challenge. That's what I want to get to. When I was at Villanova, we did this. It was the most fun I've ever had. And we did this when I was in the PFL too. I think we challenged the Ohio Valley, I think is what we did. But this, I hope that rivalry flares back up, because that was the most fun part about this game back in the day, was when these conferences would go back and forth with one another. When that was going on, I thought this game took on a different level. And now that you've got the media by your side, I think this needs to happen again. And you've got it. Let's look real quick at the Ivy, because the Ivy's also getting better. The Ivy's picked up a couple of human teams over the past few seasons. So you've got a good coach at Columbia, a good coach at Yale, Harvard's turning around, Holy Cross has a good team, and Princeton's got a good team. So you've got five there. You look at the A-10. Whoops, clicked on the wrong thing here. Look at the A-10. You've got four human coach teams: UMass, Villanova, Northeastern, New Hampshire. And how about the job at Tampa Flat Northeastern this season? Incredible job. The coach, by the way, the coach of the year committee will convene tonight. And I would be shocked if Tampa Fly does not end up on the nominees for the season. He is doing an incredible job at Northeastern. Yeah, I thought he did a very good job when he took over Morgan State that one time several seasons ago, and it looks like Northeastern is moving back in that direction. But back to what I was saying, the A-10, you've got four human coaches. The Ivy, you've got five. I think both of these conferences are in about the same spot where it's getting better, but it's not quite there yet. They're all recruiting after the same recruits, which is what I think makes this rivalry a great one. By the way, SJU Rat hates Atlantic 10, or at least he used to. Really, if you're looking to move around, the A-10, like, there's not one human coach in the state of Virginia. So you've got Richmond open. William and Mary was a power back in the day. So you've got some legitimate chances to take over a program and be competitive. If this rivalry would develop back, and what if we could get more things like this, like these conference challenges, I really think this world would move on to an even different level than what we're already at. I really do. That, to me, I think would be the fun. Okay, so we're still waiting on Potter here. I'm kind of just rambling, I understand. Hopefully Potter will join us soon for an interview. I told him he's got until 6:30. After that, we'll cut the show off. But if you want to be on the show, if you would like to join us, you may call in to our Wilkinson Weekly Hotline. The number is 323-870-3371. And if Coach James wants to call in, I will act like somebody who just got their hands tied behind their back and duct tape put around their mouth, and I won't say anything, and he can just call in and light me up if he wants to, because I doubted his team all season long. I'm still doubting it for next season. He's a good coach, by the way. It's no offense. It's no offense to any of you guys when I say I'm doubting your team. Sometimes it has things to do with stuff that's outside of what you can control, and I understand that. I like to be honest with you with my predictions, and my predictions next few seasons, I don't know where Jacksonville State's headed, but if he wants to call in, I won't say a word if he doesn't want to, and he can seriously, just call in and yell at me for 5 minutes if you guys would be entertained by that. So Coach James, this is an open invitation to you and really the rest of you coaches as well to call in. Again, a Wilkinson Weekly Hotline number is 323-870-3371. If you want to join us on the show, give us a call on that number. I'll take any calls. I will talk any team. We can talk teams that were disappointing. If you want to call and tell me about a coach that's just really pissing you off, we'll talk about that too. I'll also talk beer brews, by the way. But while I'm waiting on you guys to give us a call, while we're waiting on Potter, one of the things I wanted to get to that was outside of what of sports today, I have a confession to make. Last show, I came out and said the Redskins and the Texans, you know, talked about the fight and how both of those programs were stupid, and you don't see other teams getting involved in that stuff. And since then, we've seen the Cowboys and the Rams, and then today, the Eagles and the Ravens also got in a fight. So you've had the Eagles and Ravens is the one to me that kind of shocked me. The Rams and Cowboys doesn't shock me, but the Eagles and Ravens, that one definitely shocked me. And you should know that the Eagles, Tim Tebow, quarterback for the Eagles, broke up the fight today. So Tim Tebow is already leading the league in fights broken up and is completing 100% of his passes on fights broken up this season. So he has completely surpassed all expectations. Okay, I've got a caller on the line. It's a foreign number, but I'm thinking this is Potter. Whoever the number is with area code 111, you are on the CJ Sweat Show.
Hi, CJ.
Hi, who is this?
Potter.
Oh, this is Potter? Awesome. Thanks for joining us on the show, Potter. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks. How are you?
Good. All right, so thanks for joining us. listen, I want to get to this. First of all, congratulations on your championship today. It's very well deserved. I think we are all impressed with what you did with that Florida squad. So congratulations on that first and foremost.
Thank you. I've been drinking all day, celebrating. I'm really happy.
That's awesome. Listen, I think what you've done is just incredibly impressive. Now, let me ask you this. You were the coach at Tennessee several seasons ago, and Can you kind of walk us through with what happened? Because I know you were coaching there, and then all of a sudden you weren't, and then you ended up at Florida. Can you kind of walk us through what happened at Tennessee?
Actually, this is actually my daughter's account. She's 18 years old, and she's the one who actually guided me with everything. But she's really busy right now. She wanted me to call and on her behalf.
I'm very, very confused. Can you kind of elaborate on that a little bit more?
I'm calling on my daughter's behalf because she's working. She's really busy. And she told me to call today. She's 18 years old. She's actually guiding me with everything.
Are you saying your daughter is the one controlling the account?
Yes, 97%, I believe.
This has to be a prank call. This is the funniest thing. Okay, well, keep going. Just keep elaborating because this is fun. Keep going.
Okay, my name is Claudia Guadalupe Valdez Kowalski Gaona.
Okay.
Marquez, that's my name.
Okay.
Because my grandmother was Polish.
Your grandmother who was what?
Polish.
Interesting. Keep going.
I just moved here to the United States a couple of years ago.
Okay, where are you from?
37 single mom. I'm a bartender here. I used to act in Mexico.
Uh-huh.
I was a maid in a show called Fumar Cielos y Labios del Sur. I was in another one that I played the doctor's wife, the fireman, the coconut, which is the bomberos, and El Coco. I was in another one in Venezuela. I was in another film, my favorite one, the pirates, female pirates, and Las Nalgonas del Pacifico. But I had to move 2 years ago because my husband died in an explosion and at a salsa factory. Are you still there?
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show. Using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Guys, let me know if you can hear me now. I'm not sure if you can, but if you can hear me, put it in the chat. Let me know. Can you guys hear me now? You guys can hear. Awesome. Well, I am officially appearing as a guest on my own show for the second time this season. So thanks for that. Now, I think Potter actually called in at one point. The real Potter called in at one point. And it was when we had no sound. So I'm sure he just hung up. If you'll give me a minute, I'll try and message him and see if we can't get something working. Just give me 1 minute real quick to give him a message. I'll give you some music so you've got something to listen to. Hold on just a second. Okay. I'm back. All right. I apologize for that, guys. I have no idea where that first Potter thing. But if there is a girl who has been coaching since she was 9 years old, and not just coaching, but dominating at this game, that's the funniest thing. Obviously I'm joking. I don't even know where this comes from. I mean, once a season, we get one caller who calls in as something random, but both times it's been, or every time it's been some person with a very Southern accent. And then this time, at first I really just thought it was some type of toll-free caller, some type of commercial caller or something. I mean, then this time it's somebody calling, pretending to be Potter. Now, I sent him a message letting him know of the situation. Somebody called in impersonating himself, and that we'd all be interested to hear from the real Potter. So hopefully that will get him to come back. Again, I apologize for that. We had a storm come through during the show, and the power, it went out for a split second. And just like the lights went off and then came back on. Real quick, and apparently that knocked out the internet for a minute, long enough at least for it to disconnect the show, and apparently it's incredibly difficult to reconnect to the show. I was able to do it, but this is not an easy process, so hopefully we'll get a message from Potter here in just a minute, that he'll come back on and join us. I really am excited to bring him on because he did just win this national championship. I think he's an incredible coach. And if he could come on and just kind of share what he did at Florida and kind of let us know that he is not an 18-year-old girl, that would be absolutely – I think he would do not only us a huge favor, but himself a favor. that was just – I'm still kind of like shocked and just kind of in awe of what just happened because that was weirder than any other call we've ever had, right? Like, that was the weirdest thing I think we've ever had happen on the show. I am getting requests for what's going to happen with Wilkinson Central, so we can talk about that for at least the next 10 minutes or so. I'll give Potter a little bit of time to call back in if he wants to talk. And hopefully he will. It looks like Blog Talk has actually extended my time on the show, so we can actually go a little bit longer than we had intentionally planned to if he does call back in. So essentially what we want Wilkinson Central to feel like is just kind of your one stop, your one stop for everything related to our world. We want it to feel a lot like ESPN. I think we may get a little less on the whole. We may go a little less opinionated and get more factual with it. But, I mean, listen, guys, if you want to be a part of this, which you can, it's not too late to get involved. Just send me a site mail because, like, I'm looking for guys that are going to go out and be, like, real reporters for this thing and try and get real answers and get real with this coaching rumor stuff. And we're going to put all of this in Wilkinson Central, including the radio show. I'm pumped for it. I think it's going to make things even better than the way that it is. Again, if Potter is listening, it looks like there is a guest on there. But if he's listening, I'll – please call in. We'd love to have you call back. If you lost the call-in number, it's 323-870-3371. The 111 number is back. I don't know. Listen, I'll let you guys decide in the chat. Do you want the 111 number, which was the person saying that Potter is an 18-year-old girl? Do you want them back on the show, or do you want to wait for the real Potter to come on? I'll let you guys put it up in the chat. What would be really interesting is if while 111 is on hold, or is on the line, if we got the real Potter to call in. So I'll let you guys say what you want in the chat. If you want me to put this 111 number on, though, I will, just to see what we get. This is the thing with what happened last time. Now, Tampa said no. We'll see what FEMA 2 says. But last month we had somebody wait 30 minutes to come on the show, and then I let them on. I had even disconnected them once, and then I let them on, and it was about the funniest thing that I think I'd ever listened to. Okay, couldn't understand her, so people are saying no, so I'm going to disconnect the 111 number. If it is, in fact, you, Potter, if it's really you, then go ahead and send me a site mail. But it was about the funniest, weirdest, random thing, so I don't think I'm 99.9% sure it's not, but at the same time, you never know who's behind the computer, so who knows what's truly going on. But if the real Potter would like to call in, we can get that interview underway. Again, I'm still inviting Coach James to call in. He has not yet. I think he's just scared. If Fimutaw. Okay, that's it. Sorry, this is going on in the chat. Fimutaw is telling me how to pronounce his name. This is where, guys, listen, this is where the show has gotten to. It's gone from being this incredible show to me pronouncing Fimutaw. Interesting. Is it a frat? Listen, Fimutaw, if you want to call in, then you go ahead and call in. We'll put you on the show, and you can tell us all about your name and where that comes from. And what you're doing at Texas State, by the way, you're kind of the one repping the Big Sky anyways. So if you want to call in, feel free to do so as well. All right, got number 626-975 on the show. Welcome to the CJ Sweat Show. Who have I got here?
Yeah, this is the non-Mexican Don Potter.
This is who?
Potter, 444.
Oh, Potter. Awesome. Okay, sorry. So you're the real Potter.
Yes, I don't know who that lady was.
Awesome. Hey, give me just a second here. So we got the real Potter on the line. Now, Potter, I want to ask you about this. Before we get to your championship run, which I thought was amazing, let's get to what happened at Tennessee. Can you kind of walk us through that process? Because I know you had to be frustrated with losing that job off of not anything to do with your resume, just off of what a Sports Engine. Can you kind of walk us through that process and what happened to you being at Florida?
Well, there's two versions, the real version, the version I tell people. What happened was I just didn't follow the mails or the news, I guess, with GD, and I didn't know about signing up for seasons and what have you. And it went away. I didn't do what I needed to do, so it was a mistake. But what I tell people is that Grindy needed all the help he can get because the guy can't recruit, so I gave him a team that he could work with and win a national championship.
Oh, interesting. So are you friends with Greg over at Tennessee then?
I am not. I really dislike Grindy. I'm just joking. I don't know Grindy. Playing around.
Okay. Well, that's funny as hell. I really appreciate that. So let me ask you that about this. So you take over Florida from Tennessee, and you kind of were started off a little rough. I mean, Tennessee really just rolled you a couple of times, and it things weren't looking great for you, but here you are now. You just won a championship. So when you took over that team, which was coached by CFB fan before, what did you do first to start building that program? And what have you learned from your experiences with Tennessee and through some of those other losses that you've had that got you to this point of going undefeated and winning the national championship?
I mean, I followed basically the same system I had at Tennessee, recruited the same way at Tennessee. I didn't change anything up. And to be, I mean, it was a loaded team when I came there. I mean, CFB did a great job. I just think with different formation styles, maybe things like that, it just takes a while with your type of players, emphasize certain positions. So I think, you know, it was a year four, you know, this is year four, and that's all my guys on the team. I think you just need time to have your type of players and your type of system.
Interesting. So he was, when he left, or when you took over, Florida was two seasons removed from their most recent national championship before today. But with that said, would you have still considered what you've done now? Would you have considered taking that job over like a rebuilding job in the first season or two?
No, I wouldn't have left Tennessee. I mean, I really like that program. People say it's, you know, not one of the best elites because you're fighting with Alabama, you're fighting with Ohio State, you know, you have Georgia that you're competing with. So it's kind of a tough place to recruit from. But after you've been there for a while, I figured a few tricks and a way to do it. So I was happy at Tennessee. I probably would have moved, maybe for certain elites, a USC or a Penn State or something like that. But to me, a move to Florida was, you know, it's pretty much a lateral going from Tennessee to Florida as far as, you know, elite programs.
Okay. Wow. So you're at Florida now. You also coached Notre Dame and Heisman. Now, we had CFB fan on who talked about his move from Notre Dame or from Florida to Notre Dame. He likes Notre Dame better. You're at both schools right now. Between the two, what would you say is the better elite?
I think Florida is a ton better. Now, you probably heard this a lot. I mean, it depends a lot on what schools are populated around you and the coaches at particular schools. And Notre Dame does have, you know, this, oddly enough, there's talent in GD in Indiana and Illinois and Michigan, but you're competing against Ohio State, you're competing against Michigan, competing against Michigan State. So it's I think the competition is much more difficult for recruiting at Notre Dame. At Florida, really, you're going up against Miami sometimes, although there's a pretty big gap in Florida, and then between Florida and Miami, and the same thing with Florida State. You'll compete with them, but it's the degrees of overlap in that 180 are usually pretty small. So I think Florida is a much, much better place to be than Notre Dame.
Okay, so let's switch gears from Florida to kind of your game planning and how you design your offense and defense. Now, what I find interesting is that you tend to use Notre Dame box a lot, and I love Notre Dame box, but it's not a very popular formation across GD, but you use it. What have you found about that formation that you really, really like, and what are maybe some of the weaknesses of that formation?
What I like about it, it's, I think, the easiest to get talent for. There always seems to be plenty of tight ends out there and good tight ends at that. So I think it's easiest to get that type of talent for it. And it's, you know, great running formation, but there is ways to pass out of it. So I've had success with it. I do think it's, it was easier for me than trying to do pro set or I just thought Notre Dame box was easier based on the talent I could acquire.
So based on the talent you could acquire. Now, it's only Notre Dame box. It's interesting you brought up tight end because Notre Dame box only has one tight end. Now, the debate or the discussion over the past few seasons, especially in Wilkinson, is that it's becoming incredibly difficult to recruit running backs, which if you're running the Notre Dame box, you need to start three running backs. How difficult have you found it being at an elite and being in Florida to find those stud running backs to play that position?
Running back's another position I think you can find a lot of quality at. So, you know, you can find guys that are versatile, that can catch the ball. I think they're out there. I've had, I just think they're out there. The running backs can be found, they exist, and you can plug them into that system.
Awesome. Okay, so today, let's get to the championship game. This, to me, was one of the better championship games we've had in the past few seasons. It was tied 14-14 at the half. Now, I thought at one point in the third quarter, after you took a three-possession lead, I thought, oh, good Lord, Florida's just going to run away with this one. Now, they stormed back, but what adjustments, or if any, did you make at halftime to get off to that monstrous lead in the third quarter?
I'm trying to think now. I think maybe I made some minor tweaks, nothing major. I think what I did do for this game, I ran more than I normally do. I think that was probably one of the games I had the most rushing attempts probably all year. And I just did that for a reason, some things that I saw with Texas. But I didn't do much. What I didn't do, which almost cost me the game. I don't know if you saw the last drive, but we went for it on fourth and one. Inside.
I did see that.
Yeah, so that almost cost me the game because I didn't change my aggressiveness settings for the two-minute offense. And there's reasons why I have it set that way. But that could have been a Super Bowl type of moment.
So now, did you not change it because you forgot, or were there reasons behind you keeping it the way it was?
Well, there are reasons why I have it that way. I mean, personally, I just think, you know, when you fourth and one, if you can't get 1 yard, you know, it's to me, go for the six instead of taking the three. A lot of times you'll see teams lose if they just take, basically they get in the red zone and they're kicking field goals instead of scoring touchdowns. So I have it set that way, you know, to go for, you know, touchdowns instead of field goals. But, you know, I may have set it differently if I thought about it, but I didn't.
Okay. Now, you said you ran the ball more. You ended up running the ball 52 times. You threw the ball 36 times. And Texas, listen, I thought Texas had one of the best defenses in the country, as did you. Look, kind of the story all season was the battle of defenses. This ends up being a bit of a high-scoring game, and you decided to run. What was it about that Texas defense that you saw that kind of made it click, where you made that decision to run the ball more than you usually do?
Well, considering I may cross paths with BK again, I don't know if I want to give all the secrets out, but I guess the general answer is I looked at the games he played this year, what types of defenses he ran against certain offenses. You know, I saw how what he did against Missouri, and it probably went 180 degrees opposite that, the Missouri game plan. I'm just kidding, CJ.
Thank you.
I looked at the games he played, and probably the more high-profile games, the ones against elites, see what offenses he ran, what defense he ran, and planned accordingly.
Great. Well listen, I thank you for the compliment about my terrific game against Texas. he crushes me every time we play. Now, this is something I wanted to get to about this season for you. You scheduled five human teams, which I applaud you for that, because that takes guts right there. But then WIS doesn't help you out, and then they give you five human teams to start off conference play. So you ended up playing 10 consecutive games against human opponents. How difficult was that?
There was a lot of good coaches, a lot of great teams, but I tend to overschedule. I mean, stuff that will be really challenging, because I wouldn't want to be in a position where, you know, you're 15-0, you're undefeated at the end of the season, and you're sitting at the fourth spot or the fifth spot because you didn't challenge yourself with a, you know, a tough non-conference schedule. So, you know, my thought is kind of go for the knockout. If you get knocked out, so be it, but swing for the fences, right?
Right. Oh, wow. listen, I thought your season, this, I brought that up because the only reason I wasn't going to pick you to have a real shot at this championship was because I thought your schedule was just way too tough. I mean, to me, it looked like a gauntlet. And then you get this game against Tennessee, which, I mean, he's beaten you. I think he's beaten you like the last two seasons, and one of those games, it wasn't really even close. What did you do this season? And you don't have to get into specifics, but what did you do in this season to change the outcome of that game with Tennessee?
Well, partly a lot of my guys graduated from Tennessee. So that was, to be frank, a big part of it. Those teams were loaded at linebacker. And I believe he runs a 3-4. I'm not entirely certain, but if I'm recalling correctly, he does. And those linebackers were stacked, and it makes tough, makes it a tough time. And the offense was really, really good too. So he had a ton of talent, but Grindy, I think his offense is pretty set. And again, you kind of look at what they're doing, make adjustments. And I think you mentioned it on your show, that the teams that are one-dimensional, I think eventually that can catch up to them.
Oh yeah. No, I think those one dimensional teams, I just think their day is coming for them. They may be able to get through one game here and one game there, but when they're having to battle elite programs day in and day out, I think they're done at the end of the day. I don't think they can go undefeated, especially if they're playing a schedule like yours. I think you're going to see the truth come out about those programs. Now, it's interesting you bring up linebackers, because you also use the 3-4, which is something else I use, and it's starting to sound more and more like you and I agree on a lot of different things. With the linebackers, how would you value linebackers in comparison to defensive line or the defensive backs? Would you put an emphasis on linebackers when you're putting together a team?
Yeah, I mean, those are all important, but at a 3-4, I think the linebackers are hugely important, especially too, because we'll run in 4-4 and we run 3-4. So there's always, you know, going to be four linebackers on the field. So you have to have good linebackers that are versatile, that they can stop the run, but also can pass defend. And so, yeah, it's important.
Okay, great. Well, listen, Potter, I really thank you for joining us today. You've been an absolute fantastic guest. Congratulations to you on the national championship. It is very, very well deserved. I know I doubted you at one point throughout the season, but I really applaud what you did with scheduling and then getting through that schedule and winning the national championship. So thank you for joining us.
Thanks again. I love the show. Get GD to start cutting you a paycheck and pay you for your services. You did a great job.
Thank you, Potter. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Take care, man.
All right. Listen, I really thank him for joining us. He was a fantastic guest. He came through a really tough time with the show today, with all the connection issues we're having, and it looks like there's something going on with the chat right now. So I hope you guys can still hear me, but he was responding to me at the end of the interview when the chat problems were happening, so I still think we're okay as far as continuing with the show. Again, I apologize for all the issues we're having today. The power going out really threw things off on me. But we did have Coach James calling in just before Potter came on. So if he wants to call back, that would be fine. Same thing with, listen, I already forgot how to pronounce your name. Fimutaw. It's somewhere in there. But if you guys want to call back, we'll put you on the show. Listen, I thought Potter, what he did this season, I thought it was incredible. I really did. He scheduled five incredibly difficult teams all season long. He had humans to play all season long, 10 consecutive games against human opponents, and he beat them every single time, went undefeated, won the championship game against a very competitive Texas program. I didn't rate Texas first to start off the season, but I think if you go and look back now, Texas and Florida were the obvious two best choices. Penn State is a really close third. Just that schedule, it didn't pan out. And I cannot help but feel so sorry for TKE Chubb, because he again put together an incredible team and things just didn't pan out at the end. But he's an incredible coach, and Penn State's going to be very, very good over the next few seasons. So hopefully before he leaves the game, he can get a championship back. because he's a very good coach. Again, thanks to Potter for joining us. You guys aren't calling in, which is okay. I'll take that as a sign as to either you can't hear me or you can't call in or something's going on with the show. But I'm going to go ahead and get off here at 6:30. So we got our hour in, got Potter in, get the fake Potter in, which was some chick from India. I don't even know where that came from. Most random thing we've ever had. Okay, we do have a 940 area code. I'll go ahead and put you on the show. So 940 area code, thanks for joining us. Who is this?
This is Bai Mutal.
Bai Mutal. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
In college, I was in Kappa Alpha, and when we got rushed, and when I was a pledge, we had to have a pledge class designation. So when we got initiated, it was a full moon on the 13th, and we chose our pledge class designation to be Phi Mu Tau, which stands for full moon on the 13th.
Wow. That's
and I've been using like, it I don't as my, I've been using it as my username for the last 14 years, and it's I don't like having to put numbers.
Okay.
It's just original, so and it gets butchered by everybody, so don't feel bad.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean like the second it went away in the chat, you guys were talking in the chat, the second it went away, I'm just like, I don't know what he said. I don't know what it is now. I completely forgot.
Yeah, it's the three Greek letters Phi, Mu, and Tau.
Phi, Mu, Tau. Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, I'll try and remember it. By the way, while we've got you on hold, we're also gonna bring in Coach James T. So I've got two of you guys on. Coach James T, thanks for joining the show.
Yeah, thanks, PJ.
All right, awesome.
You kind of called me out there, so I was going to let you roll, you know, let you ride, but you know, you doubted the Gamecocks all year, and we just had to prove you wrong. That was the whole motivation for the entire playoffs. Was, you know, after you say, well, they lost to Tennessee Tech, you know, that's a sign. Tennessee Tech is I've lost four games since getting to Jacksonville State, and all four of them have been to Tennessee Tech.
Okay. I mean, you guys have an incredible rivalry going on. It seems like he beats you in the regular season, then you'll pop him back in the playoffs. Now, Phi Mu Tau, you're at Texas State, and it. By the way, I've got two of you guys on the show. I've never done this before, but with this, let's make this more of like a panel discussion. I'll ask you guys questions. I'll direct it at one, and if the other one wants to respond, feel free to. Now, Phi Mu Tau, you're at the Big Sky now. You're at Texas State. You've done an incredible job there. 10-5 this season. It's only your second season there. The conference looks like it's coming on as a whole. What do you think you guys have to do to catch the PFL and to catch the Ohio Valley?
Recruit better. I mean, that's what I have to do. I mean, I don't know about the guys that have been there. Cal Poly and Northern Arizona are doing pretty good. But me, I got to get my – I'm working with 2 years of Sims, and the last user that was there left me the seniors this year. They helped me go 10-5, but once I get my players in there, I'll feel a lot better. My defense is horrendous.
Okay. So they got to recruit better. Now, James, you've been at Jacksonville State for a little bit. You were at East Tennessee State for a little bit as well. What have you learned in terms of recruiting better, not just as a team, but kind of as a conference as a whole and improving a conference profile to what the Ohio Valley has right now?
Individually, I've learned that to be more patient. I know a lot of the guys like to go balls to the wall and get everybody there first couple of cycles, but I've learned by being more patient, some of the better guys will fall to me, and I don't have to battle for some of those top guys. I'll get a guy that's 200th of a point rated lower with a little bit better back out there, but
No problem.
I don't know why you mentioned the PFL comparing to the OVC, because you know it doesn't compare.
Listen, the PFL is close to me, because when I went in there, it was just three of us, and then the next season it ended up being two of us, and then when I left the PFL after I left Jacksonville, it was like eight teams deep, and we were really threatening Pete there for the national championship. So It does. it's a little close to my heart there. Now, James, you're at Jacksonville State. You were the best team coming into the season. You rolled through. You went and won the national championship. So congratulations on that. But I wanted to ask you this. When the playoffs started, when the seeds were getting ready to come out, were there any like lower seeds, like a potential 7 or 8 that you were really hoping to not have to play because they just looked like a really tough 7 or 8 seed?
Well, San Diego, who I ended up getting, really, I thought was going to be a tough goal, but also Southern Illinois, of course. I don't remember what if they ended up with 6 or 7, but that would have been a tough draw. They had kind of a down season, but once they get into the playoffs, you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
But once I looked at my bracket, it was the game against Keith that I dreaded the most, which ended up being the only game, you know, that was close. But yeah, I'm worried about the conference, my first divisional championship there in the South now with Keith getting his guys up. It's going to be a bloodbath there in that half of the conference now.
Okay. All right. And Fine Mutual, you came into the season I think you ended up as a 7 seed. You played Holy Cross in the first round of playoffs, and Holy Cross looked like this incredible team coming into the season, and then you beat them in double overtime and advanced to the second round of the tournament. How big of a win was that for you, and how did you game plan for that team?
It was my career win thus far. I mean, I have a couple of conference championships in D3, but that by far, I mean, whenever I watch the Wiscast and watch it unfold and I actually won, you should have heard the yell and of happiness that I let out whenever I knew I finally won. It was a big game for me. I do a little bit different than everybody else. I practice every formation, so I can multi-attack if I have to. So I'd saved I hadn't ran shotgun all season, and I'm not very high in formation IQ. But I'd practice it all season long like it was my number one offense. So whenever his game came around, I knew he probably hadn't game planned for shotgun. And right. I actually got lucky because he was out of town too. And so I ran shotgun and caught him, you know, by surprise and allowed myself to stay in the game.
That's awesome. I watched that game. I was watching the GameCast, and I love these overtime games because it can end in a second. And I mean, the whole thing could just be over, or it could go on. I mean, I had one go in 6 overtimes. So it's always fun to watch. And congrats on getting the win against them, even though you were knocked off by Southeast Missouri the next day. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, I left my game plan the same. And I scouted Jimmy, and I saw that he just annihilated a shotgun team in the middle of the season. So I thought, you know, I'm going to go ahead and just try it. And it totally backfired, and I should have not done that. And I learned my lesson.
It happens. Okay, so I'm going to ask you guys this. We have one last question. It's directed at both of you. We'll start with James. And then Fine Mutual, you can be thinking about it while he's answering. Now, James, if you were to make one change about the engine, about the game, whatever, if you had the ability to make one change tomorrow, what is one change you would make to the game?
Good question. I'm pretty happy with the game. That's the reason that I still play it. I'd like to see an actual returns on touchdown returns on turnovers more often. I've seen one or two of that, and maybe a missed extra point once in a great while. I mean, I know extra points are pretty automatic. They're going to be 100% by everybody all the time, even in D3 football. It's kind of a stretch. So, okay. Otherwise, I'm pretty happy with the engine.
Okay. And Fine Mutual, what do you think?
I would like to be able to redshirt more than 3 players.
Redshirt more than 3 players. Now, yes. if you did that, what would you say to having more players on the team?
I would like that. I'm used to playing. I mean, before I got into WIS, I played the NCAA college football on PlayStation, and that you had 70, I believe, on your roster.
Yeah,
and that you could redshirt as many as you want. I mean, you know, as many as you brought 10 freshmen, you could redshirt all 10 of them or whatever. And you can build your team better that way. But it's the restrictions on that kind of, I mean, but everybody has to do it, so it's fair. But I would just like to be able to build, you know, because there's freshmen you bring in, they're not going to play anyway. You know?
Oh yeah, no, for absolutely, yeah, no. I completely agree. Listen, I love both of you guys coming on the show. I agree with both of your takes, James. I'm sorry for all the hate you had to endure this season, but congrats to you on your national championship. Congrats to you, Faimutaw, for getting to the second round of the playoffs. It's very impressive what your entire conference is doing, and thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I love when guys just call in like that. Then I had gotten to them a little bit ago and asked them to do it through the chat, and then they finally it finally got to us right after Potter got off. So listen, I was glad we were able to do that. I had three guests on the show today, four if you want to include myself. so I thought, listen, I love when we're able to do that. I thought it was a lot of fun. And both of those coaches are very good coaches. Texas State is going to be, as will the whole Big Sky next season, that team's going to be very, very good soon. So I'm really excited to see what he's got going there. And listen, I do think Jacksonville State's going to have a little bit of a drop-off, but for the most part, I think Jacksonville State's going to be very, very competitive over the next few seasons. So I don't think they're going to walk over teams from the championship like they're doing now. Which is what I'm saying is going to happen. They're going to fall off from doing that. But I don't think like Jacksonville State's going to fall off the map from being in an elite program. You're going to have to game plan. You're going to have to out-recruit them consistently. And you're going to have to build a legitimate team if you're going to get past them. It's not just going to be a rinky-dink team that gets past them. You're going to have to be very, very competitive. But this season, we already saw Eastern Kentucky give them a game. Coastal Carolina had a lead at the half. Tennessee Tech beat them in the regular season. So there is cause to believe that over the next few seasons, we will experience more parity than what we've seen in the past few. All right, so thank you to Potter 444, coach of Florida, for joining us. Congrats to him on his national championship. Thank you to Coach James, coach at Jacksonville State. Congrats to him on the national championship. And thank you to Coach Faimutaw at Texas State. Thank you to all of you guys for joining us on the show today. I really appreciate it. I apologize for all the trouble we had with the connection earlier that completely threw everything off. Just those storms this time of year, they just kind of roll through here. So hopefully things will be back up and easier to listen to next year. I know we've had complications ever since I made the move. I'm working on that. I do believe if we get Wilkinson Central up and running soon, that connection issues are going to be a lot easier. There's some different formats I'm exploring, so hopefully we won't be limited to Blog Talk Radio. But I want to thank all of you guys for joining us today. This is the CJ Sweat Show. Have a great rest of your week. Is it